here this morning, Matthew's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse. I indeed, John the Baptist speaking here, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Oh, John the Baptist, right here in the beginning of the gospel. You know, I'm glad that God just gets things set right in the beginning. Do you realize how many of the major concepts of the gospel are declared in this one statement of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of the gospel? Repentance, baptism in water. Can I hear an amen? The coming of the Lord. He said, there's one coming after me. Amen. The coming of the Lord. A lot of major things that are mentioned right here. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I thank God for every bit of it. How about you? I want you to look, if you would, this morning in the book of Acts and the 1st chapter. Amen. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 5. This is Jesus. He's about to ascend into heaven. He is speaking to the disciples before he makes that ascension. He's preparing them to go into Jerusalem and tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Look at what he says here. Amen. He commands them in verse number 4 to do just that, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Hallelujah. Two preachers here. Two separate instances here. Two totally distinct and different experiences here. Some likenesses in both of these passages of Scripture in the beginning of the Gospel, Matthew chapter 3, and here just shortly before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1, we see both Jesus and John comparing these two experiences. There's likenesses. There are great differences. They are both compared and they are contrasted. Amen. The baptism of John in water, the baptism unto repentance, and the greater baptism that Jesus Christ has come to administer, and that is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You ever wonder why in the Gospels it said Jesus' disciples baptized more than John, but Jesus himself didn't baptize anybody? Well, if they got in a big ruckus down at Corinth talking about who baptized them, well, Cephas baptized me. Well, Paul baptized me. Well, and here they are bragging about this. And can you imagine if someone had been baptized in water by Jesus, how much they would have bragged about that? But it's amazing, Jesus himself submitted to the rite of baptism. He did not need to be washed from any sin, for he knew no sin. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. John himself was fearful to even do this rite of baptizing Christ, for the Holy Ghost had revealed to him just who Jesus was. And he said, me baptize you. I need to be baptized by you instead of you being baptized by me. Suffer it. Suffer it to be so now. To fulfill all righteousness, I'm going to do something here to set an example and to fulfill righteousness. I know I'm God manifest in the flesh, but I am a man, amen, 100% God and yet 100% man, amen, a mystery of the ages. And so he submits himself to water baptism. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just preach to you here this morning on the greater baptism. The greater baptism. We got one in water. Amen. And that's to be, you know, done. Jesus commanded that we do it. I still believe in water baptism. But we got another baptism. that's greater than water baptism. And it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to preach on that second one here today, but I think in order to us for us to understand it a little more fully, it would do us well to compare it to the former baptism. For that's what John the Baptist does, and that's what Jesus Himself does. And so we'll just take that lead that these men have set here, and we'll do a comparison to help us analyze this second baptism. Oh, this first baptism. Let's not belittle or underestimate what a great thing this was that was going on down by the River Jordan. Amen. Inside of the nation of Israel. Amen. Look at it first here. You got some amazing things in this first baptism. You got John. Hallelujah. You got Jordan. My. And you got a Jewish revival going on here. John, Jesus said, there's not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. He clarified that statement, Brother Nichols, by saying, howbeit he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. But up to this point, where we're standing right here on the edge of the entrance of the kingdom of heaven, amen, the kingdom of God is at hand, John the Baptist preached. And in fact, that was the first message that Jesus preached. He echoed what John had already preached. He added the word that John had already used, amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My, what a preacher John was. My, what a River Jordan was. My, what a revival that was going on down in Israel. Hallelujah. What a man. What a river. And what a work of God, this first baptism here of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. Hallelujah. One fellow said he wasn't John the Baptist. He was John the Pentecostal because he had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. You can call him whatever you want to call him. We call him John the Baptist because he baptized in water. Oh, what a preacher. What a preacher this John the Baptist was. He was like Elijah, amen, who had come back. Oh my, they hadn't heard the voice of a prophet for about 400 years. Here he comes. My, what preaching. Dressed in camel's hair. Hallelujah. And a leather girdle. He ate locust and wild honey. He was not given over to appetite and gluttony, and he was more or less an ascetic in his day. Amen. Out in the wilderness, John didn't have a bus ministry. John didn't have anybody to go out and gather his crowd. Nobody advertised on a radio. There was no multimedia publication to say John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. No, 1,000 times no. They had heard about the holy life of this man. And one day down there by Jordan River, he began to declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. People began to hear about it. Amen. He started preaching. He pointed his finger at the old tax collectors and said, exact no more than is appointed to you. He pointed his finger at the bold Roman soldier. Oh, yes, he did. And he said, do violence to no man. He got so bold that when Herod heard about it and went out to hear him, he pointed his finger up at Herod on the hillside and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. He's a prophet of God, like an Old Testament prophet, standing right here on the edge of the New Testament, pointing out sin, preaching righteousness, bold as a lion, not afraid of anything, preaching thus saith the Lord. They trembled and they shook under conviction. And they got so moved that they went down into Jordan River. And John grabbed a hold of them and plunged them beneath the surface of the Jordan. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't just baptize anybody. He didn't just baptize people for the sake of counting numbers. No. He said, bring forth fruit, meat of repentance. This is a baptism of repentance. Let me tell you what this baptism is all about. This means you're dying out to your old sinful ways. And God is going to make a new person out of you. You're repenting. It means to turn from sin. Boy, that's a doctrine that's been neglected by this modern church. Repent. Turn away from sin. Brother Carl touched on it here already this morning. Amen. When he testified, so many people just want to add Jesus in the mix and live a life still embracing their sin. But let me remind you this morning, child of God, that the first word of the gospel is repent. The first thing God deals with in the gospel is the fact that we must turn from our sin. Oh, I need to preach to you this morning. Oh, what a preacher. John the Baptist. Amen. What a man of God. Oh yeah, Jesus said, What went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed? Shaken with the wind? Some weak-kneed? Limp-wristed? Fashion society preacher? That was swayed with the winds of popular opinion and fashion? Is that what you came out to see? Did you come to see some pillow prophet who would prop you up on some comfortable doctrine and talk to you about a light? No, that's not what you went out into the wilderness to see. They that wear soft raiment dwell in king's palaces. But you came in out into the wilderness to see a prophet. Yea, much more than a prophet. Can I hear an amen? What did you go out to see? A reed shaking with the wind? Did you go out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? No, John the Baptist didn't look like he just stepped out of GQ magazine. Oh, hallelujah. He wasn't following the fashions of the world in his garment, in his hairstyle, in his demeanor, in anything. When you looked at John the Baptist, amen, it wasn't the nice, fine, combed camel's hair sports coat that he had on. No. This was like the mantle of the prophets of old. It was a rough garment. Hallelujah. It was like the mantle that Elijah wore, that Elisha picked up, that now John, who's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, he's clothed with it. Everybody knew when they saw that garment, that meant a prophet is on the scene, and a prophet was always a sin buster. And that's what John was. He was preaching against sin. The sacrificial system of the Jews had become so corrupted that one of the first and last things that Jesus did in his public ministry was to cleanse the temple. You know why he cleansed that temple? There's a lot of reasons you can attach to it. But the primary reason is not so much that they were selling things there within the vicinity of the temple. For them just to make the sacrifice available for travelers who could not bring lambs and turtle doves from the great distance they were required to come from, there was nothing wrong for them to sell those things, amen, in the city of Jerusalem or even within the vicinity of the temple. But what had happened here, by selling them there, they were corrupting one of the truths that God had designed to be part of this sacrificial system. We were just at Shady Springs Youth Camp. They do these big, they call them Bible look-alike contests. I don't know why they call it that, but they call it that. And what it is, every Friday, all the churches get together and they put these Bible skits on. No talking. Pantomime. And they judge them. Holytic Church this past year, I mean, they did David and Goliath. They had a 9-foot Goliath built and they had him on rollers and his eyes would light up. I guess they had dry ice in the back of this thing. Big suit of armor. He's 9 feet tall. And I mean, smoke's coming out around his feet. They push a button and little red eyes. I'm telling you, he looked like a monster, ungodly giant of a man. Well, to begin the skit, they had this little boy come walking through there. He had a little lamb with him. He was David. Had a sling and a shepherd's staff. And he's pulling this little lamb
Brother Nichols, it's a little video thing, and the whole time he's pulling it across the front of that sanctuary there, that tabernacle for youth camp. Amen. They've got that building built there just for the youth camp and the camp meeting. The whole time he's pulling it across there, Brother Silvers, it's not wanting to go, and the whole time it's going, bah! Hey, you hear that lamb? He's tugging it along. Bah, bah, bah. You know what? That's what God designed in His religious system. When you had committed a sin, you had to go get a lamb, this innocent creature, this spotless creature, and you had to take it to the temple. And the whole time you took this creature to the temple, it was walking behind you going, bah. Amen. Only in your heart and conscience, this wasn't saying bah. It was saying bad, bad, bad. Sinners. Sinner, sinner. And everybody that knew the law, knew the sacrificial system, even though they may not know the details of your sin, they knew the seriousness of your sin by the type of sacrifice that you had to carry to the temple, and your head would hang in shame. It was a public confession of your sins. Now they got lambs right here in the temple door. Walk down the street scot-free. Whistling Dixie. Amen. And take a glance this way and that way. Jump inside, lay a little cash out. Grab your lamb. Skedaddle up to the altar while nobody's looking. Pay the money. Go through the motions. Walk back outside. No remorse at all for your sins. God designed a system to produce godly sorrow for sin. Because godly sorrow works repentance. But the system was so corrupt that nobody else was sorry for their sins. Amen. Or men were enticed to keep on sinning and not feel sorrowful for it. And repentance was quickly becoming a thing of the past. And all of a sudden there's a voice in the wilderness crying, repent! Repent! Lay your sins down! He's pointing at sinners and calling their sins out by name. Oh, what a man this John the Baptist was! People are so affected that sage, soldier, tax collector, they're all going down into the waters of baptism. Oh, hallelujah. Publicans, sinners, harlots, wicked people are being baptized. And their lives are being changed. They're believing the message of John. Are you he? No, I'm not he, but he's coming. And his kingdom's coming. You better leave your sins behind and get ready. Ooh, the priest had corrupted the system and God had raised up a prophet to preach. And now sinners were feeling conviction again. Even old Herod liked to hear John preach and got under conviction when he preached. Oh, I need to preach to you here. What a man this John. What a river this Jordan. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the children of Israel marched through it. It represents death. What a man. What a river. What a message. Can I hear an amen? But I'm preaching to you this morning about the greater baptism. As big as a revival as is going on here. Among the children of Israel. As many people are turning to God. As many people are leaving their sins behind. One day John says something that starts to shock all of them. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And yeah, we're in a big revival. And God's doing a wonderful thing. But you think this is something? You think this is good? You just wait. You just wait. You think I'm a preacher? You think this is a baptism? You think this is a move of God? You just wait. There's coming one after me, the shoe latchet of whom I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloosed. He shall baptize you. Yeah, yeah, you need to be baptized unto repentance. But can I tell you something? There's another experience. There's another preacher. There's a greater revival. I'm just a door opening up to what God really wants to do. There's one coming after me. Hallelujah. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, lift your hands here this morning.
I'm going to tell you, John could get the job done. He could flat preach them under conviction. And he's a big enough guy to get them baptized in Jordan River. Oh, but there's one that I can't do. But let me tell you something, friend. Oh, hallelujah. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many's been baptized in water? I like to take them all the way under. We was baptizing down a creek down in Kentucky one time, down in Perry County, just outside of Hazard. And they took this gal under, and her hand didn't get to go under. No, it's all the way, friend. If we don't get it all, we're going to do it again. Can I get a witness here? Amen. Fully submersed. That's what baptized means. Hallelujah. Immersed in water. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Ghost. How many's been baptized in the Holy Ghost? I remember when it first came on me. I was a 12-year-old boy at youth camp when the Holy Ghost first came on me. I'm not talking about conviction when I got saved. I'm not talking about the earnest of the Spirit that we get at salvation. I'm talking about baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy. It's such a experience, Brother Silvers, that just one analogy cannot describe it. Amen. So we say baptized because it completely covers us on the outside, and we say filled because it completely submerges us on the inside. We say He fell on them because it's something that comes down from heaven that you can't muster up from this earth. Oh, what an experience this baptism of the Holy Ghost. First time I felt Him, I was at a youth camp down in Barberville, Kentucky. Probably 600 people there. The Spirit of God got to moving on that congregation. I'd seen adults run and shout like some of you have this morning. I'd never seen kids do it. I was at youth camp, Brother Nichols, and this boy, he didn't even look like he was old enough to go to youth camp, was standing next to me. And the Spirit of God got a hold of him, and he began to make gyrations and moves. And I looked there, my eyes were as big as silver dollars. My mouth was as big as a saucer. And I kept wondering how in the world that boy was remaining in an upright position doing all the stuff he was doing. Holy Ghost had got a hold of him, Brother Coral. Can I tell you, I got such a hunger in my heart that before that meeting was over that it got a hold of me too. I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance like they did in the book of Acts. But I felt the wave go across my soul. And I became a bona fide card-carrying holy roller. Woo! What I mean by that, hallelujah, is it got a hold of me so much that I fell down in the floor and commenced to roll him back and forth and shook everything out of my pockets. My counselor came up to me after youth camp, after one of those altar services, Brother Silvers, and he handed me all the stuff that I'd slung out of my pockets rolling in the altar. And he said, "You done shouted all your worldly possessions away. I'm going to tell you what, you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and you won't have any desire for the things of this world." Oh, I need to preach to you this morning. I wish I could do better. I really do. Huh? Oh, what a baptizer. John, as great of a preacher and baptizer as he was, as big of a crowd as came to see him, he could only baptize them one at a time. But when Jesus started baptizing them on the day of Pentecost, 120 people. Somebody said that's when the church is born. I beg to differ. That's not when the church was born. That's when the church got the Holy Ghost. There was a church that went in that upper room. What's it take to be in the church, friend? What's it take to be a Christian? What's it take to become a child of God? Confession of your sins? Repentance of your sins? Faith in Jesus Christ and His vicarious death and resurrection. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. May I tell you this morning that all 120 of those believers that went into the upper room believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed in the resurrection because they saw the resurrected Christ ascend into heaven. They called Him Lord. They called Him Savior. They'd been baptized in water. Jesus had already told a group of disciples that their names were in the book of life. How much more do you have to have? There was a church that marched into that upper room. He had already commissioned that church to spread the gospel. But He told them before they ever went into Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We're talking about men that had already cast out devils. Oh, hallelujah. That had already spoken the words of truth in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. They go into that upper room. And 120, all on one morning when the day of Pentecost was fully come, were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, nobody has to tell you, amen, you don't have to understand all the details about the Holy Ghost in order to get the Holy Ghost. Jesus never explained that they would speak in tongues. There's a lot of things that He did not explain. But when it happened, they knew it. And Peter stood up and said, "This is that." This is it. Can I get a witness? Oh, I've seen 20 people get the Holy Ghost in one service. You believe God could baptize some folks right here? I believe before 1 o'clock today, somebody could come out of here speaking with tongues. I've seen 6-year-olds get the Holy Ghost. I've seen 70-year-olds get the Holy Ghost. I've seen a 70-year-old man in Olytic, Indiana get the Holy Ghost. We went in a 3-week revival. Brother Marvin, he got the Holy Ghost one night. He'll still tell you the day of the month of September and the year that he got the Holy Ghost. And he got it. He got it. He got it and set that church on fire. 70 years old! I've seen an 80-year-old woman in Oklahoma receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon your handmaids, come on here, help me, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, what a baptizer this Jesus! He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost! And with fire. The element in John's baptism is water. The element in Jesus' baptism is fire. Consumes everything it touches. Purifying. Empowering. Oh, hallelujah. D.L. Moody had preached for years and was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when it came on him, he said it was such an experience that I had to ask God to stay His hand. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I would never go back to the other side of that experience. He said, my sermons, my texts weren't any different. Amen. My basic understanding of preaching the gospel wasn't any different. But the power and the difference in the altar. Oh, I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peter was a vacillating man that would cower down at the accusing finger of a little maiden girl. But after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what boldness he's stood with on the day of Pentecost and said, "This same Jesus whom you have crucified." you here this morning? Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, not just an outward experience, but an inward and an outward experience. I'm no Greek scholar, but anybody can take a Strong's Concordance and a Greek lexicon and do a word study. There's a couple of Greek words here. One is bapto. I mean, it's always translated in the King James Version to dip. Another one is baptizo. And it is most often translated baptize. Oh, hallelujah. It's odd, but 200 years before Christ, there was a Greek philosopher named Nicanor. And to show a distinction between these two words, and it fits as a pretty good illustration here, so that's why I'm using it here. This Greek philosopher and scholar wrote something that used both of these two words, bapto, which means to dip, and baptizo, which is a little bit more than just to dip. And as interesting and as amusing as it may sound, he used both of these words in a recipe to make pickles. He said, the first thing I do is I take the cucumber and I bapto it in boiling water. Hallelujah. And I pull it out. It's pretty much a temporary thing. It's still a cucumber. Are you listening to me here? But the next thing I do, hallelujah. Is that on? Amen. The next thing I do is I baptizo it in vinegar. And when it comes out, it's not just affected on the outside. It's affected on the inside. Oh, hallelujah. And it will never be a cucumber again. It is forever changed. Can I get a witness here? Can I tell you something? That's what I know I'm talking about here. Hallelujah. I got saved when I was 7 years old. But at the age of 19, God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And I've never been the same. No, no, I don't mean to demean my salvation experience. I can take you to the place. It's the same night God called me to preach. Oh, hallelujah. But the boldness, but the difference that came on me when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Peter, as much as you've seen, you've been on the Mount of Transfiguration. You've seen Him raised from the dead. You were at Lazarus' tomb. When I said, Lazarus, come forth, I want you to preach my gospel. But don't you speak another word till you tarry in Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, God. Fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like this. Oh, hallelujah. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers. Of living water. The parenthesis has a statement after that that tells us, but this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, you don't believe it, friend? How about old Paul when he went down there, hallelujah, to Ephesus and he found certain disciples? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Wait a minute here. They believed. He gave them that. Have you? But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We've not even heard there was a Holy Ghost. How were you baptized then? Because he knew how to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. How were you baptized then? Under John's baptism. Oh, John verily preached the baptism of repentance, saying, he that shall come after me is greater than he. Oh, I'm trying to preach to you here. Hallelujah. And he laid hands on him. Oh, hallelujah. they received the Holy Ghost. What about Philip down there? Preaching in Samaria, casting out devils, people repenting of their sins. This is way past Pentecost. People are repenting of their sins. People are being born again. They're getting saved. They're being baptized in water. But the Bible specifically says, but the Holy Ghost was not yet fallen on any of them. Till Peter and John came down. Oh, hallelujah. They laid hands on them. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Men who'd got saved in Philip's revival are now receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Sister Kim. I want you to stand with me all across this building here today. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to worship God with me this morning. Oh, come on. I believe you can do a little better worshiping God, saints of God. I've preached the everlasting Word of God to you here this morning. Oh, I felt God impress my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this morning, amen. God was dealing with my heart about preaching this message. I had no idea what kind of testimonies and what kind of atmosphere was going to be going on before they turned this service to me, but God did. Oh, come on, can you worship God a little bit here? Oh, the certainty. Oh, the certainty of John's preaching. I indeed. You show me evidence that you've forsaken your sins and I'll baptize you. I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But there's coming one after me. Listen to the certainty of this experience. He shall. Oh, glory to God. He shall.
Same as will.
I heard about a preacher one time. He was going to baptize this woman. She froze up, Brother Nichols. Got all scared. He went to baptize her and she stiffened up and you know, she was kind of stout. And here she was. She wouldn't. You got to surrender if you're going to be baptized. You ever seen anybody fight the preacher in the waters of baptism? She stiffened up. This was a potential embarrassing situation. And the old preacher was wise enough, amen, to save her some embarrassment and himself some too. And he reached his leg out and tripped her and baptized her. Hallelujah. Brought her back up. He got the job done. Oh, boy, I've seen them. When you lay hands on them to pray for them to get the Holy Ghost, it feels like you're praying for a fence post. Huh? Come here. Come here. Come here. Amen. Amen. Just lean into my hand. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Trying to pray for them and just, you know, Lord, help me here. Oh, Lord, help me. Can you imagine trying to baptize somebody in water that's leaning in the wrong direction, Brother Nichols? Especially a guy as big as Jericho Z. Oh, God, help me here. Come on here. It takes some stout fellas to get you under if you didn't want to go under. I couldn't do it, amen. I'd have to get 2 or 3 guys to gang up on you here. He'd take me under before I take him under. I don't think me and you together get him under. But he shall. I got quit. Brother Gene Huff was preaching revival years ago, decades ago. He said, I've always said everybody that wanted the Holy Ghost in that revival got it. And one that didn't want it. One night the Spirit of God was moving and, oh, hallelujah. This man got the Holy Ghost. I mean, knocked him down in the floor and he's rolling, speaking in tongues. And Brother Huff was a young evangelist back then and I don't think he'd even pastored before. And went up to his wife and said, he's got the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you like the Holy Ghost? And she looked at him just as resolutely as she could. Well, she's scared to death. Didn't know anything about it. On the outside, she was saying. But on the inside, she was saying. What do you do with somebody like that? He turned around to walk away. And he said, about the time I turned my heels to walk away, he said, I heard her let out a big whoop. Hallelujah. And her hands went up and the Holy Ghost came down. She began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Within Olenek, Indiana, and the Spirit of God got to moving. Hallelujah. And about three pews back, the Nolan family set. And old Brother Nolan, when that revival, towards the end of it, he said, I think this has been Nolan night. Just about everybody on that pew, God did something for them. Several of them got a touch from God. Some of them got the Holy Ghost. One night, this man came and was sitting by his wife and he determined to sit there on the pew. God had touched his wife in a wonderful way. And you know what happened that night? Amen. The Holy Ghost came down and got on him sitting there. And they were sitting on the day of Pentecost. He can get 120 sitting. He can get one that's sitting. Hallelujah. Shook him all over that place and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he got to testifying later and said, I came tonight to sit on him. Hallelujah. But you can't sit on the Holy Ghost when he's made his mind up. He's going to sit on you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I want it. Who wants it? Who wants it? Who's never had it before and you'd like to have it? Who's had it and you'd like to have a refilling? I want you to come right now. Right now. Right now. Come on. Step out of your pew. Step up to this altar. Throw your hands up. Throw your heart open. And let God do it like only God can. Oh, come on, press these young men. Press these young ladies. They need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, children of God. Come on, children of God. We got plenty of time. Oh, dinner ain't ready yet. I believe we can see a half a dozen get the Holy Ghost before we pray over the afternoon meal. What do you say? Let's believe God.
The fire came down upon them. As the Lord said He would send. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone. This old time power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised to believers. We all may have it too. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone. They were in an upper...